Heavenly Father, thank you for Mark's gospel. Thank you for inspiring him to write it. Thank you that we have this chance tonight to look at this part of it together. And pray that as we do, that for each of us, you would open our minds, open our hearts to see the real Jesus and to be changed by him. In his name we pray. Amen. Lately, I've had cause to question some of our family's viewing habits. We've been getting into K-dramas. We started off with Crash Landing on You, actually a beautiful romantic comedy, no complaints about that one, can heartily recommend it. But the next one we tried, Sky Castle, is much darker, much more psychologically intense than we anticipated. Don't get me wrong, it is actually a really great show, but let me describe the scenario. There's like these rich families living in the same lavish estate. They act like they're actually really close friends with each other, but actually they're in really fierce competition to get their kids into the top universities, so that they can be rich and successful themselves and actually bring their own family, you know, more honour than the other families. It leads to them putting huge pressure on their kids to study all the time, always get perfect grades, to the point that it actually breaks their families apart. So there's obvious themes of, like, how much should kids respect the authority of their parents versus how much they should live the life that they want to live themselves. And Lucy and I are watching this show with our teenage kids. So Lucy and I are kind of looking at each other going, was this the wisest choice? I mean, what ideas is this putting in our kids' heads about our authority as parents? Unfortunately, it's also highly addictive, so stopping it isn't an option either. And maybe the only thing we can do is use it as an opportunity to talk to our kids about that feeling, that experience that we probably all have growing up, where you're under your parents' authority, but what you really want is autonomy. Your parents want certain things for your life, but it's not what you want for your life. And so even as adults, I think most of us would rather be in authority than under authority, which can be how people feel too about the authority of Jesus. In fact, even more so, because as Mark shows us in this part of his gospel, Jesus actually claims supreme authority. Now, Mark is a human being too. He must know that isn't what most people want. But then Mark isn't sugarcoating Jesus. He doesn't present the Jesus people want. He presents the real Jesus, the uncomfortable Jesus, the Jesus who claims supreme authority over everything and everyone, including you, including me. By the end tonight, we will actually see why that supreme authority of Jesus is something that we all actually really need. But we've got to start by confronting the fact that it's not what most of us want. So we see it right from the start of our passage, up on the screen there. Jesus calls his first followers, Simon, also called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and his brother John, and Jesus commands them, follow me. Notice it is a command. Jesus doesn't say, hey guys, I'd really love you to consider following me. If and when you're ready, follow me. To the degree it suits you, follow me. It's just follow me. And immediately they leave their livelihoods. Immediately they leave their families to follow Jesus, who knows where to do, who knows what, for who knows how long. How do you feel when you hear that? If I'd heard that at the time, I'd be like, so which part of the lake was that? I'm not fishing there in case that happens to me. From the start, Jesus claims total authority over people's entire lives. And then he shows that authority to a wider public. Jesus comes into the synagogue, Jewish church, and he just begins to teach. Doesn't wait for the synagogue leader to invite him up to teach. Just gets up and goes for it. Now, if this is your first night here with us tonight at Village, really great to have you here. Just so you know, I'm really hoping you're not planning to march down the front here uninvited and just start teaching. To be honest, I really do not know what I would do. Certainly it would raise questions from everyone else in here as to who you think you are and taking it upon yourself to teach like that. Now, you wouldn't do that. That is what Jesus does here, as if he's the one with total authority. And that's also the way that Jesus teaches as well. First century Israel had scribes who taught from the scriptures, I guess like I'm doing now. See, what I say has authority only to the extent that what I say is what the scriptures say. The scriptures have God's authority because they're God's word. Jesus doesn't teach like that. Jesus teaches on his own authority, as if whatever he says has the same authority as God's word itself, as if he has all the authority of God himself. What must the tension have been like in that synagogue? In that same synagogue, there's a guy who has a demon controlling him. Now, we'll look a bit later on at why there's a demon there in a Jewish synagogue of all places and what's going on with all the demons in general. But just for now, let's not be scared by demons, but scared by the authority of Jesus here. See, there's these demons that have complete control over people, and then Jesus has complete control over them. Which means if he wanted to, there's nothing stopping him having complete control over all of us. Now, there is some comfort here. Jesus has deep compassion. If you are going to have someone in supreme authority over you, you at least want someone who really cares, right? Simon Peter seems to be the main eyewitness for Mark's account, and so we see Jesus' compassion as he heals someone particularly close to Peter. It's actually not just Jesus' closest friends and their loved ones. It's actually anyone in need. They all come to him, and in compassion, Jesus meets their needs. It's really beautiful. Except when he doesn't. Next day, Jesus gets up before anyone and goes off away alone to be away from everyone. It takes them ages to find him. And when they do, they're like, oh, what are you doing? Obviously, everyone wants you back and healing people like you were yesterday. And Jesus is like, nah, I don't have to do what everyone wants. I'm on a mission to preach. And actually, I'm going to go elsewhere to do that now. Jesus cares. He has deep compassion. But he's not at our call and command. We are at his. He does what he wants, not what we want. But most of us would rather it was the other way around. We see that with the guy with leprosy. Jesus heals him, does what he wants. Then Jesus commands him, don't tell anyone but the priests. J- Jesus is saying, I want these priests, their first encounter with me, to be one where they see you honouring God's law. But the guy doesn't do that at all. Actually, he does the opposite. He tells everyone but the priests. Now Jesus can't enter towns to preach. And over chapters 2 and 3 in Mark, we're going to see the religious leaders become increasingly hostile to Jesus, thinking that Jesus is against God's law. They end up deciding to kill Jesus on that basis. Who knows how that might have been different if this guy had just done what Jesus commanded. This guy's independence from Jesus' authority, it does do real damage here. But we shouldn't be too harsh. He probably didn't intend to do all this damage. He just wanted to do what he wanted to do. And isn't that really a picture of us all? We might like the idea of Jesus hearing our prayers, using his power and authority in compassion for our needs. But how do you feel about Jesus having power and authority over you and everything you do? Probably no more keen than this guy, right? Which actually makes it puzzling why Mark says the authority of Jesus is good news. That's actually how he starts his whole account of Jesus. Gospel means good news. Christ means king. Son of God means he's not just a human king, but one with all the authority of God himself. How is that supposed to be good news? For people like us who naturally don't want anyone in supreme authority over us, how is it good that Jesus is king? We're going to finish now with our final episode in our passage because it shows why the authority of Jesus is really good. Why it might not be what we want, but it is what we desperately need. As we look at this story of the paralyzed man, we're actually going to see two puzzles. There's the puzzling response of Jesus to the paralyzed man, and then there's the puzzled response of the scribes to Jesus. As we think through those two puzzles, it'll actually solve for us the puzzle of why it's so good that Jesus is king. So let's look at the response of Jesus and why it's puzzling. Word gets around that Jesus is at home in Capernaum, actually probably his own house. So it's flooded with people packed to the rafters. This is pre-COVID, no social distancing. You can't even get in the doorway. Four guys carry their paralyzed friend, obviously hoping he'll be healed by Jesus like so many others. But there's no way they can get him in to see Jesus. They're so desperate for their friend, they actually dig a hole in the roof to lower him in that way. It's crazy. This is actually Jesus' own house, I think, that they're destroying. But that's how desperate they are. And what do you think they're so desperate for? Can you guess? It seems Jesus can't. I think if they've gone to all this effort, they're obviously desperate for their friend to be healed of his paralysis. But instead, Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." That's puzzling. Just the other day, I went into our local servo and I said, "Oh, just need to swap out these empty gas bottles for new ones." And the guy says, "No." Then silence. I'm thinking, why not? I've obviously got the bottles to swap. I'm willing to pay. That's how shops work, isn't it? I give you money, you give me stuff. What, do you not serve my kind here anymore? What's going on? Eventually he says, no. We're meant to get new ones yesterday, but we didn't. We run out, so your best bet's going to be Bunnings. Now, it was good to finally hear the reason that it wasn't just he didn't like my face. But it's still annoying. I'd loaded the bottles in the car, driven the way there, then lugged them out only to be told no. But that's got to be nothing to what these guys would have felt. They've carried their friend to what they thought was his only chance to be healed of paralysis, desperately dug through the roof, and they're effectively told, no, I've got something else for your friend, not what you want. It'd be devastating, wouldn't it? Unless what Jesus gives this guy is actually far more precious than what they wanted. What reason might we have to think that forgiveness of sins is actually the most precious thing? So far, we've seen Jesus healing the sick, casting out demons. As we read on through the rest of Mark, we'll see Jesus feeding the hungry. Have you wondered why Israel here is in such a terrible state? Riddled with disease, demons, deadly hunger. Every third person seems to be sick, and this is pre-COVID. They've got demons everywhere, even in synagogues. What is going on here? Helpful bit of background is Deuteronomy 28. It's a summary of the covenant relationship between God and Israel. And here's a quick summary of the summary. If Israel obeys God, they'll be blessed, and that blessing will actually draw all the other nations into God. And that mission for the world is so important that if instead Israel sins against God, they'll be cursed, particularly with things like disease, famine, and being handed over to other gods, other spiritual powers. I think that's what we're seeing in Israel at the time of Jesus. Not something we should expect to see everywhere always, but a sign that Israel here is being punished for sin. So when people come to Jesus wanting their sickness healed, demons cast out, they're really presenting the symptoms. The root cause of all the suffering is sin, which means Jesus isn't brushing off the paralyzed guy here. He's saying to him, hey, you, like everyone, you've actually got a much deeper problem than you know. And I'm here not to just do what you want, but to meet your most desperate need. Yes, you need to walk. Even more, you need your sins forgiven. Now, how does that strike you personally? When you look at the problems in the world, in your newsfeed, in your life, do you see sin, humans living without God, as the deepest problem? Not that your sin personally is the cause of all the world's problems or even your problems. But the Bible says sin is what has broken this whole world, and we've all played our part. Can you see the way you've lived your life, your own way without God? Can you see some of the damage that's done along the way to yourself, to others around you? One of the reasons it's good that Jesus is king is he has the authority to say what we really need. If he didn't, if he just did what we want, he'd only be addressing the effects of sin, not the root. So that's actually the first reason why it's good that Jesus is king. Except, of course, the scribes really don't like it. And that's our second puzzle. Why they respond the way they do. They hear Jesus say, son, your sins are forgiven, and they think, how can Jesus be saying that? Who can forgive sins but God alone? What do you think? Are they right? Is it only God who can forgive sins? Obviously, we can forgive each other when we sin against each other. Like, if I do something to harm you, you can choose to forgive me. But what you can never forgive me for is when I've sinned against someone else. If I sin against Dave here, only Dave can forgive me for that. Which actually means, if you think about it, no one person in the world can forgive you for all your sins. There's no one person that they're all against, except God. Why? Well, each human being is a precious creation of God. So to sin against any person, you, me, anyone, is also to sin against the God who made that person, the God who loves each person. All sin against people is sin against God, which means the only one who can forgive all your sins is God himself. Scribes, they're actually right about that here. Where they go wrong is not seeing that Jesus is God. So Jesus tries to help them. He asks, which is easier, to say to a guy who can't walk, your sins are forgiven, or to say, walk? Which do you think is easier? As hard as it might be to actually forgive all my sins, because only God can do it, actually, anyone could say it, and they could just be making it up, and there'd be no visible difference. But if you say walk, and the guy doesn't, that's pretty clear. You can only say that if you really do have the power and authority to make it happen. And so Jesus shows them all that he does. He says, walk, the guy does. Everyone's astounded and they say, oh, we've never seen anything like this. But notice the point is not that Jesus has amazing abilities. The point is that amazing ability shows something about Jesus. That Jesus has supreme authority to forgive sins. The authority of God alone. That's why it's so good that Jesus is king. If he wasn't, he couldn't forgive all your sins. None of us naturally want Jesus in supreme authority over our lives. But once we realize that our deepest problem is really sin, and we realize the only way Jesus can deal with that is if he is God himself, it's actually the best news ever to hear that's who Jesus really is. And that way into seeing the authority of Jesus, it's actually, I think, how Jesus wants people to see his authority. There's a little thread in Mark chapter 1 that we skipped over. The demons, a couple of times, they cause trouble for Jesus by telling people who Jesus really is, both in the synagogue and then at Simon's place. Jesus has to stop demons telling people he's God's son, but why? Isn't that what Jesus wants people to realize about him? Classic Mark, he doesn't tell us why, just leaves us to guess. So here's my guess, could be wrong, but based on what we've seen, I think if people hear from demons that Jesus is God's son with all the authority of God, well, for autonomy-seeking people like you and me, that's not good news, is it? So what Jesus does instead is first show people his compassion. He undoes the suffering caused by sin. He shows he has authority to forgive sin. Now, that's a very different way in to seeing the authority of Jesus, isn't it? One where you see it really is good news that Jesus is king. That different way in to the authority of Jesus, I think, leaves us with just a couple of takeaways to finish now. We should embrace and celebrate the authority of Jesus, and we should show people around us how it's good. So first, if you're hesitant about Jesus and his authority, that's completely normal and natural. It's what the Bible calls sin, where we all have a drive to live life our own way without God over us. So, I don't know, you might be considering Jesus, not sure if you want to commit your whole life to him. You might have been following Jesus for years, but there's still areas of your life that you want to hold back as yours. Can I encourage you to consider how good it is that Jesus is King? Just a couple of days ago, on the Gold Coast, a woman was found issuing exemptions for COVID vaccinations, mask wearing, and even COVID testing, though apparently she has zero medical training, qualifications, or registration. She says she's entitled to do it because she does really have a PhD and therefore she does have the title doctor. It's not a medical PhD. See, that doesn't give you the authority to do that. So now apparently over 600 people have paid $150 a pop for a piece of paper that's worthless. Jesus offers everyone who comes to him in faith full exemption from the penalty and power of sin. So it's good to know he really has the authority to do that. When Jesus forgives your sins, you get freedom from guilt, complete safety and security in knowing God's love. You get increasing freedom from sinful, destructive habits that hurt you and others. But you only get all that beautiful freedom if Jesus has full authority to grant it to you. His authority is not something to kind of pull back from. It's something to embrace in every area of your life. It's something to celebrate. And finally, as we see the goodness of his authority in our lives, we can show other people how good it is too. Jesus started by healing, feeding people, showing compassion for people in need. And we saw how those miracles, while they were obviously real and really did meet people's felt needs at the time, they were also like an acted out parable for what Jesus really came to do. As Jesus removes the effects of sin, he shows he has the authority to forgive sin. And as you follow Jesus in having compassion for people around you, as he did, doing all in your power to meet their needs, that too can actually act as a parable, a pointer to the goodness of his authority. Jesus called his first followers to become fishers of people, and that goes for all his followers now too. When you know his goodness yourself, you do want others to come in and know that goodness too, don't you? And showing that goodness in action is part of it. So think about what opportunities do you have in your life to show that compassion of Jesus to people around you, in your workplace, at home, in your neighborhood. Talk about it with your community group. Pray for chances to show that Jesus-like compassion. A big reason Lucy and I moved to Village Church this year was actually to be part of Village Mosaic. The food boxes, community dinners were already up and running, so we could just slot in, help where we can, and be part of it. If you think that could help you go further in showing the compassion of Jesus. Talk to Sam, talk to Tony, talk to me afterwards. You can be part of it too. I can tell you just from my own experience this year, it really does make a difference. When you're talking to someone about Jesus and his claims, if they've already caught a glimpse of his goodness in what his people are doing. I'm going to pray now that we'd all see how good it is that Jesus is King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've got to admit that we are sinful, selfish by nature. We want to live without your authority over us. Father, help us to see how good it is that Jesus is King. Help us to love and celebrate his authority over every area of our lives. Help us to show that to people in our compassion for them. May you bring many more people to know the goodness of Jesus as King. In his name we pray. Amen.